So any idea of what you want to do for the start thing of the podcast?
No. You?
No.
So welcome back to episode 3 of the Claptrap podcast. I'm here with Don. How's things, Don?
Pretty good, thanks.
Excellent. How did you go this week? What kind of feedback were you getting on the last episode?
I got significantly less feedback on the second episode than I did for the first, which is a good thing, I think.
That's the direction you want. You want less listens, less feedback.
That was always the aim.
Project progressing hopefully
nothing,
as planned.
Nothing after this week and success, I'll call it.
This will become a personal diary by the end of the series. Now, we did not receive any example jokes from friends or family. Thanks very much. Any theories about why that might be going on?
I think there's two theories. One is that there's so many submissions that the email server crashed.
Very likely, yep.
That's the most likely one. Yeah. The other one is that everyone finds us so funny they couldn't possibly put up a joke to us. They're intimidated.
Yeah, that's also very likely.
Yeah.
We are like comedic powerhouses that, yeah, you don't want to go head-to-head with a powerhouse.
No. It's just going to end up in tears.
That's right. Our friends and family are very clever. That's just...
Actually, the most likely scenario is that they've emailed in saying, unfortunately, we're too intimidated to send in a joke, and that's crashed the server.
That's it. Perfect. The most kind of unsettling bit of feedback I got was from our other brothers, who said that I have a hosting voice. That
you do have a hosting voice?
They didn't say whether it was a good or a bad thing, so now I'm just completely in the dark about what is this voice I'm meant to be putting on.
It's just weird. People that know you would know that there's just something not quite right about your voice on the phone. I don't know what it is. It's something a bit strange.
Is there a little bit too much emphasis on certain syllables?
Yeah, it's like, it's hard to explain. It's like when you were 15 years old is when the voice first started. And if you're going for a job interview, you put this voice on.
Is it my commercial radio DJ host voice?
It's like a Sandra Sully voice. It's like it deepens a bit more animated.
So it's a little bit more like, welcome back to the Claptrap podcast. Is it that kind of a thing?
A little. Like for the 15-year-old at home on the phone, it'd be like, oh, you loser. And then you answer the phone, hello, Luke speaking. Yes, I applied for that position of employment. That's what it was, just weird.
I'm going to be paranoid about that every day now. Am I doing the voice? Am I not doing the voice?
But I think you've been getting the jobs, so I'll keep going with that.
It's working for me.
It's working a treat.
Excellent. So this week, we're still in the brainstorming phase. We're just going to try and scrape the barrel a little bit more until we move on to the next phase, which will be workshopping the ideas we've got so far. But today we're going to do two new segments. And the first one pitches one new idea from us and two from professional comedians. We'll be back with that in a moment. So we came up with the idea where we thought, all right, let's actually take two professional jokes from really well-known comedians and one of our new joke ideas and mix them together, and we have to try and guess which joke is ours and which jokes are from the professionals. And it's a segment we're calling Legend or Loser. Alrighty, so let's get into it. So how about you go first? Hit us with your three jokes and I'm going to try and guess which one is yours.
Okay, I'm going to start. I'm sick of people telling me to hydrate. I just don't want to hear any more about hydration. You know, you need to hydrate. You got to be hydrated. You're in plane. You're on a gym. You got to be hydrated. Do you know what happens when you don't hydrate? You get dehydrated. Wouldn't I get thirsty, you may ask? No. According to the fitness people on TV, if you feel thirsty, it's too late. What can happen? What should I do? Just try and catch the pieces of your face as they dry and fall upon the ground. That's a joke.
actually pretty good.
You like it?
I like that. I'm gonna say that's not yours. Possibly too good to be yours. That hurts. No offense.
It's a little bit. So that was a legend.
That was a legend. Yeah, that was a legend. I reckon that's almost got a little bit of. That's a Louis C.K. or I won't be able to pick the comedian, but I'm going to say legend. So let's hold that. So joke one, legend. Move on to your joke two.
Okay, joke two. These water restrictions, they're pretty tough, but I have long showers. You know, I think it's okay to have long showers because, you know, the water's hot. It'll kill the plants. Basically, I'm saving the kumquats from a steaming hot death. I don't even know what a kumquat is, but I'm happy to save it.
Interesting. When you started on with water restrictions,
yeah,
I thought you were just saying that same joke from last week. You're obsessed with water restrictions.
Yeah.
I reckon that actually sounds like a little bit of a Dave Hughes joke. It's got his kind of tone to it. So I'm going to say joke two is legend and Dave Hughes in particular, and you've chosen it just because you like water restriction jokes so much.
That's interesting. You have a keen insight into the human mind. That's all I'll say about that. Okay, that's the second one. I'm not going to give anything away.
Yep.
And the third one is this one. I felt like some takeaway last night, and I was going to go to Hungry Jack's, but then I started thinking, hang on, who's Jack and why is he hungry? The only conclusion to make is that they've named their restaurant after someone who doesn't even like their food. He's hungry. The food must be rubbish. If the food was good, surely it'd be called Extremely Full and Satisfied Jack's.
That has D-Train written all over it, I reckon.
How could you tell?
It would be called Extremely Full and Satisfied.
Come on, that could be a legend. You have picked, not only have you picked that correctly, you picked Dave Hughes was the comedian on number two.
Oh, fantastic.
That's unbelievable. And the first one was actually a Seinfeld joke, which I really didn't think was very good. That was me trying to make myself... You know, if I put something rubbish in there from someone famous, my joke might seem a little bit better. But you loved it. imagine that and actually delivered by Seinfeld. The crowd were loving it.
It's interesting because that first one I thought was actually not too bad. I thought yours was a lot better than Dave Hughes's one. The Hungry Jack's one was definitely better than Dave Hughes's one, which doesn't surprise me because he's all about delivery. But
he is all delivery.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually almost... You kind of think, oh, his seeds are actually not very good, but his delivery is excellent.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the obvious thing there. Like, you even like that Seinfeld joke. With Seinfeld delivering it, it is a completely different beast, I think.
Yeah, he's very... You know, there was that joke that... There was some TV show called Talking Funny where it was Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Louis C.K. and Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, yeah.
And Seinfeld told one of Louis C.K.'s jokes. It's a joke that you and I both like about how as a parent when you're really, really, you know, it's kind of you're just exhausted all the time. And when you go on holidays and you take half an hour to throw all the luggage in the car and then strap all the kids in and you slam all the doors and that short walk where you walk from the passenger side around to the driver's side – that, you know, that's your holiday as a new parent.
That's right.
Seinfeld told that exact joke in Seinfeld delivery versus Louis C.K. delivery, and it was a completely different joke. They both worked. But it was just completely
different. That's so good. Yeah, I think I actually prefer this way Seinfeld said it.
Yeah, it's just a bit cleaner, maybe neater. You can just see the joke more easily, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. That was my vacation. Actually, that sounded almost like a Southern Seinfeld.
That was like a King of the Hill character.
That was my vacation. Just weird. Sorry, Seinfeld. Sorry, Jerry.
So, legend or loser, I've just pretty much dominated that game.
You just smashed it.
That is good.
So let's just say no further and move on to yours.
Excellent.
I can't believe you picked Dave Hughes. That's the...
That's like a savant of comedy. That's a... It's good.
You're the Rain Man of comedy.
There were 184 words in that bit as well.
There were three jokes in that section.
What do you mean?
Just counting. It's obviously just three. Easy to count three. No, I don't know. That was the fourth, the elusive fourth, the secret fourth joke, that one.
Yeah. And proving like the why 90s. You're a loser, not a legend.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to make a 90s mystery track reference. You know how they were really in vogue for a while?
A 90s mystery track?
you know, the mystery tracks at the end of albums?
Ah, yeah,
it'd be
yeah.
Like 2 minutes of silence, and then you'd have the song that didn't actually make the album.
We thought about that idea for this podcast because we've been wondering whether some of the jokes are getting just a little bit too lowbrow. There's a little bit of a few penis jokes and a few, you know, toilet jokes. And we're wondering, we've got a lot more in the kit bag we just don't want to bring out because it might just look a little bit too lowbrow. But we thought, what if we just had, you know, 60 seconds of silence and then just do a poo cast where there's just an hour of toilet jokes at the end of one of these episodes that you'd never discover unless you were a true fan. But the problem with that is it's probably your mum's the only one that's going to get to that section.
Yeah, yeah. Crap Trap.
Was, Crap Trap.
My name for it. Yeah, yeah. It's a good test to see if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
We just get the most offensive material we can think of. Chuck it at the end.
There's no area of comedy that it's easier to write for me than toilet jokes. It's terrible.
You do have a few up your sleeve.
Just a few. All right. Here are my three jokes.
Okay.
Okay. Joke one. I like it when it's hot. The only thing I don't like about when it's hot is that people want to tell me it's hot. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't got skin and I can't work it out for myself. I went into a service station the other day and the girl behind the counter looked at me and said, "It's hot." I said, "You're spot on. What are you doing working here? You're far too good for this place. You should be working somewhere where people can't tell whether it's hot or not. You'd kick ass there."
Well, that's interesting, you know, because I was actually thinking about doing that exact joke by Dave Hughes. You went to YouTube, I see, and tell him Don sent you. I actually had that, and until I came across the Seinfeld joke, it was written as my first one.
Really?
Well. Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
That's hilarious. So
legend. Legend. It is. Yeah.
The bit that gave it away when I wrote it down was when he said, "I said you're spot on. What are you doing working here?"
Yeah, that's classic.
It's all Hughesy.
Yeah, I can just imagine his sort of crazy glare that he gives. Yeah. He's a little bit serial killer, just a little.
There's a glint there that's a little bit frightening.
There's something not quite. It's a bit Wolf Creek.
Yeah. Okay, so joke two. You've smashed that out of the water.
Yep.
Okay. It is what it is. It's a very popular phrase these days. What the hell does that even mean anyway? It is what it is. Has anyone ever responded to that going, "Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it is what it isn't. I thought maybe my entire life was part of a dream sequence in the mind of a Komodo dragon on the Galapagos Islands."
I don't think it's very good. So whether it's you or a legend, on the other hand, can I just hold that and then you go into the next one and I'll see?
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's probably legend. It doesn't seem like something you would write.
I love it. Like, it's bad, but is it bad enough to be yours?
Yes, that's right. Time will tell. On to number three, and we're about to
find out.
I withhold my judgment for the minute.
Okay, so joke number three. Mum visited the other day and said the house looks like a bomb's hit it. Get a cleaner, she said. So we did, but we spent the day before she came cleaning the house so she wouldn't think we were slobs. It was spotless by the time she arrived. You wouldn't do this for any other profession. Like, you wouldn't cut your own hair before seeing a hairdresser or make yourself vomit before seeing a car salesman, because it's his job to make me vomit. Mum got me thinking, though. When mums in war-torn countries returned to see their house bombed to ruins, do they say, "Oh, God, this looks like Luke's place"?
And that's yours.
Was the fact that my name was in it a giveaway? Was that a hint?
Well, it gave me an inkling. I didn't want to completely... it was the war reference, really, that did it.
I thought I'd try and throw you off there by doing a double bluff and putting my name in the actual joke.
Did you do that accidentally and just realise it?
I actually, when I wrote it, I thought... Because I only had one semi-idea, and I thought maybe at the beginning of all the jokes, if I kind of say some of the jokes have been personalised to disguise whose they are, they might, may or may not contain details,
yeah,
personal details, but I forgot to say that, so really I've just given the game up.
You should have just mentioned Luke in all the jokes. Just And I tell you what, I'm a little bit disappointed you didn't choose one of my original jokes to, as the legend status, one of my old classics. I was waiting for it.
Your circa 2004 Triple J vintage. Era comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Vintage Donovan. So who was the second one? So
the second one, a little bit freakishy. My second one was Jerry Seinfeld.
It didn't seem like a Seinfeld joke, I don't think.
Wonder if I delivered it more as a, it is what it is. whether that would have helped.
It's almost a song.
I thought that was really, because when I was going back looking for, you know, jokes from comedians, I tried to choose some kind of post Seinfeld, the TV show era Seinfeld comedy.
We just did exactly the same thing.
Yeah. A Hughes joke and a Seinfeld joke, you know, late era. Seinfeld stuff has really dropped away.
Yeah, I was never a big fan, to be honest. Like, his show was really good, but his actual stand-up bits at the start of the show were pretty hit and miss anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
And some of it was excellent, and a lot of it wasn't.
It's interesting because it has dated a lot. And at the time, because I guess
it's still a great show, though.
Yeah, at the time, though, that was that observational stuff. He was kind of one of the front leaders for that. It was just, it was very, very, like, kind of original at the time, so everything was funny about it. But yeah, hasn't all stood up that well.
No.
Unlike some of our jokes from earlier in the series. Yeah. They're still holding up very well.
Still classics, yeah, yeah. No, some of mine have dated already, just from 3 weeks ago. So, good grief, that's a little bit April. What's going on with that?
So my one about the cleaner, I couldn't get this joke to work, but the idea that we clean before the cleaner comes.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
But I don't know how to extend that.
That was that was the director's cut of that joke. I'm looking forward to listening to the commentary on it later on. The audio commentary.
And at this point, I was having fights with the production company.
And the funding ran out right about the time of the war joke, and to just.
What would you do with the... Because the obvious joke is you wouldn't do this for any other profession. What is an example of a profession that you wouldn't do their job for them before coming that's actually funny? I couldn't get that.
Yeah, I didn't actually get the vomiting car salesman thing. What was that about?
Yeah, I was trying to have a go at car salesmen by just saying that they just make you want to vomit. So I'm not going to pre-vomit before I go and see them because it's their job to make me vomit because they're just annoying. Can you think of a job we could...
Where you do the job before they come?
Yeah, yeah.
No, not really. There must be one. I'd have to sit down.
The only one I could think of, but again, it was just too lowbrow, was it's a prostitute, but I don't want to go there. Mama's well, already funny. On the brink of disowning me. I do want to push that envelope. Body parts.
Yeah, that's right. But I don't want to investigate this much more, but you do the job before you see the prostate. Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha. I'm there.
I'll draw you a diagram later and send it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's the only one I could think of, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about the... Instead of, you know, mums always say, oh, your room looks like a bomb's hit it. And I remember I used to say to mum, I come on, mum, visit Chechnya and get some perspective. But so I try to twist that and go, oh, God, this is like Luke's place. Again, it doesn't work. But I'm just wondering if there's something in that switcheroo.
There's something in the fact that you clean before you have a cleaner. It is funny.
Is there a joke that separates me from the masses in the sense that you're doing jokes about having a cleaner? You've kind of lost your common touch. That's
yeah, yeah.
That makes me sound like
everyone's just going to hate you, basically. Do you actually have a cleaner?
Well,
you kept that secret. The old, and are you referring to your wife or are you referring to... sexist joke.
I'm in trouble either way.
That's... Oh, that is... That's bad.
The house was just ridiculously messy and dirty, and we were too busy. We weren't cleaning it, and you can pay like $50 and get a cleaner to come. I'm like, the cost benefit. This works out. I'm just going to go for it, even though
was it $50 a fortnight, is it, or just per visit?
For like a couple of hours. I do like make sure she comes at night, and I sneak her in the back door. I don't want anyone knowing that I have a cleaner.
If do you reckon you could pay a prostitute if they're cheaper? I don't know how much they are, but could you just hire a cheaper prostitute, and just get them to clean instead? That could work. Get one of the really cheap ones from like Charnwood, and I'm not interested in any hanky panky, but if you just don't want to mop the floor, that'd be great.
If you want to use your hankies and your pankies to clean the house, then that would be really appreciated.
Pankies clean better than hankies. If you just want to use that, that'd be great.
It's really a win-win, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Mm. Oh, well, think about that. That's actually not too bad, that joke.
I thought your Hungry Jack's one was... there's something there as well.
Yeah, and I was actually going to add at the end, I don't think it's funny, but I was going to say, the food must be rubbish. If the food was good, surely it'd be called Extremely Full and Satisfied Jack's. That's basically... Oh, no, and then I was going to say, so I didn't eat there. Instead, I went to an Ethiopian restaurant called The Starving Ethiopian. Much better. Probably not. Nah.
Nah.
Okay, good.
I remember.
Maybe not, or just not. Just say not.
Not.
Yeah.
That reminds me of there's a Macca's joke that you wrote an article for the Canberra Times about what, you know, how Canberra kind of gets a bad reputation. And you included some joke in there about how it's kind of assumed that everyone who lives in Canberra is affluent, but, you know, but not everyone is, and you were struggling at the time, and when Macca's changed the price of their 30-cent cone to 50 cents, you wore a black armband for a month.
That's right. That's when I couldn't afford mittens, so I just put socks on my hands. And then I separated the ply on the toilet paper just to get the bit extra use out of it.
Didn't you have some joke as well about... how, what are the odds of when the toilet paper runs out that someone needed that exact amount? What was that
joke?
Yeah,
yeah. That was basically the joke. That's it. It's a very low probability that the amount left on the toilet paper roll is the exact amount required by the person on the toilet. I don't want to go any further with that, but very... like, do they just go to the stall next door? Or just go, oh, whatever, and just get on with their day? I don't know.
That's unfortunate, but the role never lies, so on we go.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so that segment is done. I'm a pretty good host.
What a host.
And we'll be right back with another segment. Okay, so we thought we might take a little bit of a trip down memory lane, and we've mentioned a few times that Don... about 10 years ago, used to do a little bit of stand-up comedy. So we thought we might dust off his old jokes and, you know, have a talk through them now just to see what old D-Train was pulling out of the kit bag 10 years ago.
Yeah, so most of these, we sort of wrote them together, didn't we? I think I was probably doing most of it at that point.
Let's not get carried away on that.
I was doing the majority. Well, you were coming up with some ideas and I was fleshing them out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the way it's always been. I can't flesh out. I just come up with a little half idea, which then you then complete. Okay, so what have you got? Have you got a couple of favourites you're going to run us through?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a really old exercise book, which dates back to 1998. And there is some rubbish in here. Some of it is really, really bad. That could be another episode, is the rubbish in this book.
Couple of episodes by the sounds of it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll do a few, and this is pretty long-winded again, but these are the ones from... some of these jokes are in the one competition I actually won.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is... I'll just start. So how crap is the metric system? I think the whole thing really has just gone too far. Like, what have they got? Millimetres, centimetres, kilometres? It's ridiculous. In fact, I'm getting pretty disillusioned with the whole measurement industry. But I'm not going to take it sitting down. I've got a bit of money behind me, and we're going to start a campaign to get all the types of measurements simplified down to something that everyone can understand. pizza sizes. Small, medium, large, and family size. Imagine how much easier things would be. Just say, you know, you've got a girlfriend, anniversary's coming up, you want to get her something special, maybe some sexy lingerie. So you go into the shop, there's no more of this 36DD BBC business. You can just walk in. Yeah, I'll have a blue family size bra, thanks. Problem solved. Also, mullets are coming back in style at the moment. And if you think you need a haircut, and maybe a mullet's the order of the day, but you don't want to actually go through the embarrassing ordeal of asking for a mullet, you can just go to the hairdresser and it'll be like, hello, sir, what would you like today? I'll have a small on top and a family size around the back, thanks. Too easy.
You have no dust on you at all. That was...
I'm reading it. Though. That was... I wrote it out.
That was silky smooth.
I've written the whole thing out word for word. I've even got a couple of pause, two, three, four, and move on.
You were doing voices. You were doing sound effects. You didn't miss a beat. That was excellent.
It's a little bit... I'll do some Michael Winslow-esque sound effects soon from Police Academy. I don't know what that was, but...
Was that him squeaking on a window or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
He used to love that one.
Genius. Michael Winslow. He was a genius.
Very good. Very good. I wouldn't mind putting a little bit of a laugh track to the next one, though, just to get the full effect of what it would have been like back in the heyday.
A laugh track?
Yeah. Let's put a laugh track to this next one. What have you got?
All right. This is just to keep it classy. I'm going to... Do one about Viagra.
Excellent.
Thanks very much.
That is a circa 2004 joke, a Viagra joke.
Okay, so I'll just get into it. I was reading the paper the other day, because I do that occasionally just to show off. And there was an article in there about a new version of Viagra that's just been released. And this Viagra promises to give whoever uses it an erection for 36 hours. Which is it's a bit of a long time, I think, because the average Australian male, they're going to last maybe 4-5 minutes tops and then they're done. So basically these guys are going to take the pill, do the deed, and then end up with an erection for 35 hours and 55 minutes. So if that was me and I was in that unfortunate position, I'd probably just want to use the erection in a practical way, just around the house. So I was thinking you could hang your shirt on it while you're doing the ironing. Or you could take out an extra bottle when you're taking out the recycling. Or if you're looking for work, you can get a job in a theme park. Kids, you have to be this tall to get into the ride.
Champagne Donovan.
Enter laugh track.
Bravo. One of my all-time favorites. The you have to be at least this high to get on this ride is so wrong, but so funny. It's good.
Yeah. You know, I never thought of it, but there's a hint of pedophilia around that joke.
There is.
And do you think people think that? I don't know.
You see,
I never thought of it at the time. No one ever said anything. Well, you know.
We were so innocent and naive back then. We didn't know what was going on.
Because if anyone actually had concerns that you're making a pedophile joke, surely they would say something.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't get away with that.
It wouldn't have got through the mum filter, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Because she actually didn't mind that one.
Yeah, that was one of your best of all time, I reckon. That's in the Hall of Fame for Donovan comedy.
Yeah, for my comedy. Okay, I'll just do another one while I'm on a roll.
Yeah.
Okay, so me and my friends were so bored the other week that we decided to starve ourselves for 3 days and then play Trivial Pursuit for real pie. And how good are board games, though? Because, you know, I used to love them when I was a kid. Guess Who, Battleship, Hungry Hungry Hippo. But there was one game I just couldn't play, and that was Scattergrease. Because for some reason, to me, it just sounds a bit like a sexually transmitted disease. You can just imagine in a doctor's surgery, sorry, Mr. Papadopoulos, you've tested positive to Scattergrease. You've got 1 week to live. I'll tell your fiancé.
I didn't remember the back half of that one.
No, I don't. I only remember it after reading it. Yeah. I'm not sure I ever actually said it, to be honest.
Interesting.
Maybe once.
I do remember that the Trivial Pursuit bit was mine, and I have tried to fit that into every board game related conversation I've ever had since that moment. because I think it's quite
you just
funny.
Bring it up because you have the classic, who's your favorite, Milton or Bradley?
I remember I wrote like a short, I watched Trop Fest once and thought, oh, I'm going to try and write a short film. And I wrote it about two housemates that were really obsessed with board games. And one of them kind of gets a imaginary girlfriend and all this stupid stuff happens. But yeah, there was like a million board game jokes in there. And at the end of the movie, when the couple kind of got together, that was like on the bus and it was traveling to the sunset. And he turns to her and says, so who's your favorite, Milton or Bradley?
Nice. Good ending.
Quite a nice ending. Good. very nice. The Starve Yourself and Trivial Pursuit Real Pie was actually, I think back in year 12, I had a few friends and we were actually going to do that. We were going to follow through with the idea. It was kind of really? In that. In
between, how long was the starving period?
I think we were going to starve just for a day. So we weren't going to eat until the evening and then we were going to play Trivial Pursuit for Real Pie just so it'd be really competitive. But it never happened. I think I'm going to do it this weekend.
You should. Speaking of starving, though, what happened to the 40-hour famine?
Hey,
that was huge. You know, when we were kids, that was huge.
That's true. That was World Vision, wasn't it?
Yeah, I bought stocks in barley sugar when that was on. The stocks have dropped dramatically.
I remember they had a version for kids, which is pretty much you don't have to eat breakfast. And I remember I still sat there with a bag of barley sugars over breakfast just to make it through until a little lunch.
Yeah. It's kind of like, in a weird way, you know when we went to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
And we bought all this trail mix and then I was too sick to actually go for a proper walk. So I got off the bus and then walked to the snack machine and I was just eating my trail mix along the way. Yeah. Oh, this is tough. The temperature is what gets to you.
I don't remember that.
It's because there was chocolate in it, I think.
Oh, yeah, love a bit of trail mix, a bit of scroggin. Good.
We should just buy chocolate because that's all anyone really wants to eat.
Yeah, it's true. Any more jokes up your sleeve?
Well, I've got the classic one, you know, the classic shave leg joke. We mentioned it a little bit in the first episode, but I'll say it in its original form.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mostly yours as well, actually.
Well.
Yours and Gary Shandling, but other than
well, let's not review the history books.
Okay, so this one is, I've been going through some changes in my life recently and I've just moved into a new house, which is cool, and I've just changed jobs, but I haven't really made that many new friends yet, and I don't have a girlfriend, so I've shaved one of my legs so that when I'm in bed, it feels like I'm in a relationship. And then I added an addendum at one point, I was like, and I've also started putting women's shoes next to my bed, so that I wake up in the morning and think, oh, she must have left early without her shoes. I think that could have been yours too, actually. That's pretty much almost your whole joke.
Yeah, I think I even had a...
And Gary Shandling. So. Gazza. It's like a co-write. Yeah.
Except for the bit about the shoes, which is the weakest bit, but that's still mine. I'll take that.
That was all yours. Yeah.
Didn't we also have an extension to that, which was around how we're not very manly men? It's like, oh, sure, I have a penis, but it's only a little one. And then
yeah.
You extended it to something about...
I've got that. I can read that.
Yeah, what's that one?
Where is that? That's it. Yeah. So this is... I've got a bit of a confession to make. I've never cried during a movie. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those macho guys that can't express their emotions. In fact, I like to think I'm in touch with my feminine side. I ride a bike with a basket on the front. When I'm out clubbing, I put my handbag in the middle of the circle. And I admit I do have a penis. It's only a little one. Classic. And then I went on. But I was watching a movie the other day, and it was a sad one, The Little Mermaid. And I started feeling sad, and a lump started forming in my throat. And I thought, this is it, Don. I'm going to cry for the first time in a movie. And the lump was getting bigger and bigger, and it was a burp. But the most emotional burp I've ever done. In fact, it was so emotional, I like to think it was beyond crying. So that's what I do now. Whenever I feel sad, I just let out a big emotional burp, and I feel a lot better. It's really working out well for me. Though I was getting a few weird looks from the priest at my grandfather's funeral.
Love it.
Good.
That holds up. I still like that.
That's all right.
The funny thing about that one is because it's based in a bit of truth in that I don't actually remember crying since I was about 5 or so. Mm. And I kind of tell people that quite a bit and people are like, what? What's that about? And once I was in a situation with someone I worked with who knew I hadn't cried since I was about 5. And she was telling me this very tragic story, but it was right in the middle of hay fever season. And as she was pretty much disclosing this really, really sad thing that happened, my hay fever kicked in. And she kind of looked at me as though, oh, wow, this is the thing that has finally made you crack and cry. And I was faced with this decision about whether or not to admit it was the hay fever or I was crying. But it was such this intense moment. I had to actually just go, that's just so sad.
You stuck with it.
I stuck with it.
You went along.
I couldn't say, oh, no, I'm fine. It's just hay fever. That would have just completely invalidated what was going on. So I just had to follow through with it.
Oh, that's great.
It's terrible. I'm a terrible person.
You know when you're in a movie and you get something stuck in your eye and it just happens to be during a sad part of it?
Yeah.
And you're like, bloody hell, I hope no one looks at me. And then you're like, you're just trying to rack your brain about how to get that eye to dry. It's really hard to dry an eye. How do you dry an eye?
I was just trying to freeze you rub it. Just like go completely still.
You can do the subtle hand fan is an option. Yeah. If you try and rub it like with your shirt, it just gets worse.
That's true. Sort of timing in movies. Remember when you're like a teenager and you'll be watching like an 80s action movie or something where there's a fair bit of nudity in it, and mum and dad would always enter the room just in that 7 seconds of nudity. Yeah. It nothing for the rest of the movie, but second...
I reckon they were doing it on purpose, surely. I might do it with my kids.
Just peering through the door, and then it went, what's this? What are you watching?
3, 2, 1, go time. And then they're in, they come.
It'd be a 90-minute movie with 7 seconds of boob, but they'll just hit that window. Like, it's just
ridiculous. Yeah, unbelievable. And then you just keep a really straight face and just try and look through the boob. That's what I used to do.
Because it was back in the days before we had phones, so you couldn't pull the phone out and play with it. You should stare straight ahead.
Yeah, that's awkward. That was awkward. Or if they're actually watching a movie and the subject matter gets a bit full on, a little bit adult, and you just,
What's you that just
don't acknowledge it.
You had a joke about the carpeting in cinemas, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but it was pretty bad.
I remember.
I think the gist of it was, you know, you got carpet on the walls and the ceiling, and it's almost like the person laying the carpet didn't attend the first day of carpet school. Class, this is the ground.
There's something about carpet in the movies, and also carpet that they align bus seats with. The patterns they use, it's like that carpet is having more fun than I've ever had. Like there's streamers, there's polka dots, there's just zigzags. Like it's just
what is going on with that carpet?
It's having a ball.
Yeah, the bus seats as well. It's like they're just using up any sort of fabric that no one wants. Oh, we'll have it.
Yeah,
sure. Put it on the ground.
Just for cost effectiveness. What is your worst carpet? We'll buy it in bulk. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's right.
Any others?
One more, and I actually haven't got it written down, so this is all off the top of my head, and it's been a few years.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say my uncle has a comb-over, and, you know, we've always made a lot of jokes about it, but I started to feel a bit bad because I've started to sympathise with him having a comb-over because I recently joined a gym, and there's a lot of big guys, you know, tough, muscly guys with hairy chests, and I'm not the biggest guy. I don't have the hairiest chest, so I've started to compensate by combing my armpit hair across my chest. Looks and feels fantastic.
I love that one.
Yeah. It's basically the comb-over joke from from last episode. I've just reused it.
There's been a few themes, like the comb-over, the water-saving kind of stuff, the imperial measurement. There's been like... Pretty much we have three themes of jokes and we just do variants of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hilarious. That was a very nice trip down memory lane. I like that.
That was good.
So that's probably going to do us for this week. We're going to we'll try and get some seeds thrown in from friends But we're kind of building up a little bit of momentum now where we probably need to start workshopping what our set is going to look like and trying to flesh out some of the joke ideas that we've had so far. Even though there's been a lot and the quality has been very variable, I'm pretty confident we're going to have enough to put 5 minutes together. Would you agree?
I think so. I think we'll get a decent 5 minutes for a couple of chumps. For an open mic stand-up, I think we'll do okay.
That could be a little soundbite we use when we record the open mic and it's bombing and we just hear this, I think for an open mic night we'll do okay, just echoing over the top of the silence. That'd be quite good.
I'll hear that in my nightmare the night after doing the set.
Too good. Alrighty, so that's it for this week. We'll catch you again shortly.
See you guys.
Not again.
I had to say that again, sorry. Farewell.
Clap trap. Empty. The terminal.